Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. First of all, I want to wish you all a happy new year. Believe it or not, it's January 2nd, 2013. I don't know how many of you remember Y2K, when we were all like very desperately afraid of what would happen when the computers weren't ready for the new century. But that was 13 years ago, if you are that old and you remember it. Hopefully you are. Anyway, Happy New Year. Hope you had good holidays. And tonight's episode, January 2nd, 2013, is titled 2012 Year in Review, Options for Looking Back and Then Forward. I thought it would be a very very timely show, given where we're at the end of the old year, the very beginning of the new year. Everything we hear in the news is all about retrospectives and reviews, and we're bombarded with all of that. But I will be addressing the issue of the ways we can review the past and the future. We can focus on either major external events and milestones, or we can focus on emotional and relational markers. And I'd like to help listeners consider how the markers of change they focus on really affect their feelings of success or failure about the past and energy that people may have for future changes. So stay tuned. I think this should be very relevant for everybody. And I'm trying something new. This is going to be a short half-hour show, and we'll see how that goes. This show is all about choices, so stay tuned. And one brief technical issue. Your toll-free call-in number is 877-497-9046, in case you have a very short memory. All callers will be muted unless you have a question or a comment, in which case just press the one key on your phone to be in line to join me on the air. And I think what I'll do tonight, considering the short show, is I will take caller questions and comments as they come in tonight. There are already several people on the air already listening in. So anytime you have a question, just press the one key. In any event, we are at that point we get to each year when we're bombarded with images in the media of the past year. We note infamous crimes, acts of heroism, deaths, political highs and lows, social events, foreign developments, who insulted who made alliances with whom, and economic swings. You know, what we're all very familiar with, the script about the looming fiscal cliff and whether we were going to go off it, whether we stayed on it, et cetera. And these kinds of images and these kind of narratives can be, I think, very, very overwhelming and often very anxiety-provoking. I don't know how many of you avoid the news, but I try to avoid the news as much as possible each day, especially as we look back on the previous year, because I think that it's very focused on negative external things and things that are somewhat traumatizing as you can look at it. And because I'm a psychotherapist and coach, my vision of the year in review is, of course, one that focuses on the external and internal emotional events which have marked people's lives. Is there any surprise here that I would have a slightly different focus? But in any event, if you're doing your own 2012 year in review, you could reflect back in some of the most common ways on these things, which I think these kinds of reflections draw on our negativity bias, our tendency to veer toward the worst-case scenario or the worst thing. So, and part of the problem that I have with these things, which I will enumerate, and I'll invite you to join in and share any thoughts you have about your own, is that they generally focus on end results only and not on the process of movement, that the markers people use seem to be very static markers. They're not dynamic, evolving types of things. And they're often based on a kind of deficit model, and they're major kinds of events rather than subtle changes. One of them is how much money you made or you didn't. Okay, this is, again, a deficit model. Most people do not think about, oh, I did so well, but they focus on what they wish they had made that they didn't make. And this one, I think, generates a lot of toxic comparisons and jealousy toward other people. You can always look to somebody else and say, they made so much more money than I did. They were so much more successful. Look at them and look at me. Woe is me. Another one people focus on is how often your body broke down with illness. This is a dysfunction frame. And we can easily use those as markers of change. How many colds I had, did I have the flu, did my knee go out, how many headaches, did I have trouble sleeping, but health issues, and it's usually not how my body served me well, but it's how my body betrayed me. And it's often a very kind of morose looking back because it's a way of marking age and time that usually I don't think is in a very complimentary way. You know, I think about myself and I think about, oh, how many times did my knee go out? When's it going to go out again? It's not a helpful way of marking change. Another one people focus on is how many vacations you went on and if they were worth the cost and the time you took off. Again, this focuses on very large, dramatic events and money spent and frequency. You can always, again, compare yourself to other people. They went on more vacations. They were fancier vacations. They went to better places. But, again, it's a kind of dysfunction frame, and it's very jealousy-invoking. Here's one everybody's familiar with. How much weight you gained or lost. And this is a where I got to kind of frame rather than what direction I was headed. I think most women will relate to this one, thinking about how many pounds did I lose? Am I fatter this year than I was last year? When was I thinner? All of that. And it's usually very self-damning kind of internal talk. So not a good one, I think, not a good marker of change. Another big one for people is if you finally stop smoking or not. And this one is very shaming for people, especially in this day and age of smoking as being considered very, very antisocial, very immature, very irresponsible. So when people think about that, they're often, you know, if they can say, yes, I was able to stop, that's a very helpful thing. But often people think, was I totally able to stop? How many cigarettes did I have? Did I not stop? What's wrong with me? Here's another one. How your spouse may have driven you crazy this year. It's again a kind of victim stance, and it leans into a negativity bias. And it's all about the deficits in the relationship, the things that you can't stand, the things that are disappointing. So I think most people who are married think back about, was there anything more loving that was happening in the relationship, or was it the same old going on in my marriage? And by the way, feel free to chime in if you have any you want to contribute. But I have about 10 more that I came up with. Which friends let you down and how? And this is all about focusing on the disappointments in your life and who was there or not there for you. It's, again, glass half empty focused. but how people may have acted badly, who surprised you in negative ways, but who's really there for me is often the question that, that people ask. And they get to that often by focusing on who wasn't there. A big one I see in my work with clients is if my house got decluttered or not. Am I anywhere more organized now and any neater at home than I was the year before? Or do I still have piles of stuff, piles of bills or piles of mail? Is my house any more pleasant? Here's another one. Who had a messy affair? Who got separated? Who got divorced? It, once again, it's really sort of a salacious thing. It kind of focuses on, it's gossipy. It focuses on the worst in people, who betrayed whom. And but again, it's one way that people kind of look at the year. They mark the year by which relationships ended, which marriages ended. And you can bet that when we focus on that, it doesn't make us feel particularly, usually it doesn't make us feel particularly good about our own marriages. Sometimes we might feel self-righteous, but often it spooks people out. Here's a big one. Who died and how? I think this is very much supported by the media. They have a retrospective about, the in memoriam they have on so many of the news programs. And I know when I see it, I'm very saddened and horrified at all the people who were sort of staples in our life and who are now gone. And I think one of the ones this year was Walter Cronkite. I couldn't believe he was gone. And there were many others, Whitney Houston. But we tend to look at that and think about the passage of time in a very negative way. What it tends to do is it generates a lot of anxiety about time is passing. Inevitably, what people do with that is they say, what am I doing with time? And inevitably, there are going to be more losses. It's very anxiety-provoking. It's very it's saddening. And I don't think it really helps people. I mean, it can be useful to honor people. I think it's important to honor people who have died. But I'm talking about internal markers, you know, things that we tend to look at as we look back on the year. Here's another one. Your failures at work. If I got a raise or if I got a good review, and looking at the whole issue of was I recognized at all? Was I appreciated? Often people mark that in dollars. Did I get that raise finally? Or did I get a bonus that amounted to anything? And again, it's a kind of external marker of success. And it's very nice to get a raise. It's very nice to get bonuses. But there's so much that gets lost when that becomes the focus. So it can be very discouraging to think about, no, I didn't get that raise, and I should have gotten that raise, and how cheated I feel, and why am I working there, and what's wrong with me? Here's one. How much time you wasted your gym membership? I remember when I used to go to Gold's Gym, the big laugh for those of us who were allowing ourselves to feel really self-righteous was that come every February, well, actually in January, we would notice all the new faces, and we'd wonder how long they'd be there. And sure enough, by February, most of the people were gone. But I think a lot of people, whether they're at a gym or not, will think about the things that they did to supposedly support their health and the guilt and anger they may feel toward themselves for not following through. And that can also be about not only a gym membership, but, one of my resolutions was to run more or walk more or diet more. And did I accomplish that? Not a very good thing to focus on again. Here's one, and I would say this one is very true of me. I don't know how many other people relate to this, but I torture myself with this one. Your guilt about not reading more books and not doing more things to stimulate yourself, either creatively or intellectually. My personal one that I generally torture myself with is, oh, no, I didn't play my guitar enough, or I barely even looked at the guitar, and, oh, no, I did not get back to the piano this year. And all the books, I go into Barnes & Nobles, and I look at all the books that I'll never get to read and all the books that I made a promise to myself that I would try to get to that I did not get to. I don't know if people can relate to that, but I've heard a lot of clients talk about the lack of self-nurture on that level. Another one is your disappointments as a parent. All the ways that I failed my kid or my kids, what I wish I had done this last year, I thought I'd be able to be spending more time with my son or my daughter or my kids, and I thought I would take, you know, more risks and do more fun things or have more conversations or engage my child. And this is a very, I think this one creates a lot of anguish for people. This creates a lot of guilt and a lot of feelings of failure and a lot of anguish. And I don't think it's a very useful thing to focus on as a result. And then there's two more that I've come up with. One are the tragedies which occurred. The most recent one we're all focusing on is the Sandy Hook massacre, the one in the theater before that. And this is where the media, again, is a big conspirator. They will not let that out of our mind in the retrospectives. They remind us about all the horrors that we have experienced in the past year as though that were the only real useful marker of time. And I think it may be useful to note those things so we can learn from them, but the net effect is that I think there's a kind of vicarious traumatization that happens around it. And I think it just makes people more paranoid as we focus. I'm talking dwelling on it, not just kind of noting it, but really dwelling on, look at the horrible things that happened in 2012. What kind of a world do we live in? So it makes people feel increasingly unsafe. The final one that I came up with was, and this I hear this a lot with my self-employed people, particularly, the huge amount of taxes that they paid or now owe. And this is very alive for people right now, especially as there's so much talk about going over the fiscal cliff and the anguishing and the hand-wringing and the anger people feel about how owned they feel by the government, how little they feel like they get for it. Now, before I move on to alternate ways of looking at the year in review, I'm wondering if any of our callers have any others that they would add to the list that they see as their personal favorites, hand-wringing favorites, ways of kind of looking back on the previous year that they hear friends or colleagues talk about. Anybody? Okay, maybe I covered it all. I think I hear so much of the negativity that it really kind of covers it a lot. If you do come up with one, feel free to press the number 1 on your phone, and I'll put you on the air. Now, the point of the show is that I am encouraging people to change their lens, the lens through which they mark the passage of time, and I am offering you a very different kind of year in review. This year in review has more to do with self-empathy. It encourages gentle prodding of oneself toward growth, more compassion, and I think it promotes what we therapists call more of a sense of agency, more of a looking at what can I do differently in order to feel better about this year, rather than a feeling of hopelessness and shame and guilt. So some of the questions, and my questions are really more about, what things to focus on are more about emotional and relational markers of time. They can be either external or internal. So one thing you might want to ask yourself is, what, rather than how much money did I make, get more money this year, or how much money did I get a raise or not, or a bonus, what were my major accomplishments in my work? Okay? What did I do that I feel proud of? That is a kind of directional question, and it marks something fluid. And what have I, what do I need to praise myself for and feel really good about? That's huge, because we spend so much of our time, even retired people do often do some kind of work or some kind of volunteer work, but to really reflect back on the things around which you feel some pride and sense of accomplishment. And what I say to clients is that, oh, there probably wouldn't be a parade down Main Street over that one, but it still is important. It might not be something huge like writing a book or getting on a talk show or achieving fame or becoming a CNN hero, but if you focus on those things, you'll be surprised at how many small accomplishments you can really note and feel good about. Here's another one. What positive steps did I take in my marriage? Rather than how did my spouse drive me crazy, be thinking internally. What did I do toward effective change? How was I more loving in my relationship? How was I more compassionate or more generous or more open? Did I promote more conversations, or did I do something to enable more fun or more quality time together? So that I think that's a really important one for anybody who's in a partnership or in a marriage. And let's see. How was I more thoughtful and loving to my family? I think that's a really critical one, not just in my marriage, but how was I a disappointment to myself as a parent, but what did I do? How did I become the change that I want? That's a very core principle in Eastern philosophy. We want change, become the change that you want. So what did I do to promote something that was more open and loving in my family? And chances are, if you think about it, hopefully you will come up with at least a few things that you did. And if you feel like there was a deficit, there's always room for change. In all of these things I'm suggesting, they're all directional and they're all fluid and evolving. They're dynamic. It's not an either-or kind of thing. Another question I would encourage you to ask yourself is, did I do any better? And this is especially for women, because we're particularly guilty of not doing this very well. Did I do any better at setting appropriate limits around time asked of me? We often give away our time and then we're angry or resentful that we have none left, either for ourselves or the people who really matter. Another question, how well did I take care of myself physically? So now here's one, again, for women. Women will often mark time by how much weight did I gain or lose, but to be thinking about a self-nurture question, did I tend to eat better? Was I more moderate? Did I exercise more? Did I sleep? Was I more conscious of sleep? I know for me this is one I always feel bad about. I brutalize myself by existing on, very luckily I don't need much sleep, but that's a source of pride when I can say to myself, you know, I'm more mindful about how often I force myself to go to sleep at a normal hour. So to be thinking about self-care rather than how did I let myself down, and how and not to be thinking of it in terms of pounds or days at the gym. So did I walk maybe 5 more minutes each time? Another one would be, did I expand myself intellectually and spiritually? Okay, so instead of thinking about how many books I read, what might I have done that might have been expansive in that realm? And that opens up all kinds of answers that I think might surprise you. Here's another one. What major lessons did I learn in 2012? And I think this one really supports a kind of work in progress lens. It helps you think of yourself as, well, I'm human, and I am I have shortcomings, and what mistakes did I make? But instead of focusing on the screw ups and the mistakes, what did I learn from any mistakes I have made in this last year? Because therein holds the potential for change and growth. Now, here's a good and important self-nurture one. Did I have enough fun this past year? Did I do things to nurture myself and my relationships with enough joy and enough lightness? Or was I all work and no play? That question, when you ask yourself that question, it addresses the whole issue of balance. And I think balance is really a very difficult one for most people in 2013. Did I stand up for what's important to me? And this is a question about agency, what we call, again, agency. Did I act on my own behalf in ways that are really critical? It's also a question about, was I true to my values? It's a question about courage. Did I show courage at all for what I hold dear and what feels important? And if you look at that question, you say, well, nope, not really, then there's always room for change. Now, I have, there's a caller who's got a question here, so I'm going to put somebody on the line here. Hello, caller, you're a 917. Hello? Hello, caller. Huh. 917 caller, you're on the air if you want to join me. Hello? Nope, I can't hear you. Anyway, if you're not coming through, it's a 917 area code. I do not hear you, so unfortunately I can't take your question. But if we have time, I'll take it before we end. Unfortunately, we're ending in 4 minutes. I'll leave you on the air in case your auditory comes through. Here's another question. What did I model for my children? This is a values question. What did I represent, and did I embody the things that I'm trying to teach my children? Or did I go by a do as I say, not as I do rule, which never works? Was I a generous enough friend to the people I care about? This addresses values about kindness and being there for others. Rather than thinking about, well, who disappointed me this year, who wasn't there for me, was I the kind of friend that I would want my friends to be? And if so, how? If not, where is there, again, room for change? And then the final one that I came up with, and there are many more, I'm sure you could think of more, but whose accomplishments brought me joy? So this is one about gratitude and joy and meaning. Have I celebrated the accomplishments of the people around me? Have I even noted important changes around me and for the people in my life? There it is. As I said, it's a short show, and I hope you enjoyed it, but hopefully you get the difference between the two different kinds of questions. After you have hopefully chosen the latter set of reflections, you will have what I think will be a beginning template for, I think, a much better 2013. So focus on direction, focus on you know, where you're moving, and instead of focusing on the end results, you can focus on dynamic things. Now, here's another question. I don't know if it'll let me stay on the air after the show is supposed to be over, but I'm going to take this question. Hello, caller, 772 area code.
Oh, hello, Susan. Wonderful
Hi.
Show.
Oh, thank
Hi.
You. I'm glad you're appreciating it. Do you have a
well,
question that you ask yourself that you would add?
It's not that. I was just wondering if there was a way that you could post all these questions. Can I Google you, and will the list come up?
Actually, that's a great idea. What I will do is I'll post it on my site. My site is susanlager.com, and I'll post it in a next blog post. That's a very good idea, because I know I covered a lot.
Yes, you. I don't have that good of a memory. Maybe
yeah,
I'll
okay.
put that on my
okay.
next.
Okay.
But
well,
wonderful things to give us time to think about.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But that's really a very good idea. If there are any you want to add to the list, feel free to respond on the blog post. It'll be at susanlager.com on the blog page. You just go to the blog page of my site. Okay?
Okay, so will that be on tomorrow?
I don't know about tomorrow, but it should be on within the next day or so. Okay?
Okay, great.
Okay.
Happy New Year to you.
All right, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for your input. In any event, if you feel like you need help regarding negative thinking, a negative lens, and negative self-talk, feel free to contact me at my office, and that number is 603-431-7131. You can set up an appointment for some brief psychotherapy or for some coaching. I'd be happy to work with you around this. This would not have to be 10 years of work. Thank you to all my listeners and for my callers for joining in. Thank you for caller. There are actually other questions, but I'm going to have to end because they'll throw me off the air at this point. Tune in to my next show, which is Wednesday, January 30th. And I haven't yet decided what that show is going to be about or whether I'll have a guest. I may very well have a guest. And my announcement is that in late January, my next book is coming out. So the my next show on January 30th, I will be announcing the next in the Couple Speak relationship, the Couple Speak series books. I'll be announcing that book. It's about to be published. So that's one of my accomplishments, that working on creativity. And even if it weren't done, I'd still be proud of working on more creativity. So have a very happy, productive, and meaningful New Year, everybody. And I will post those things on my blog, you know, the blog of my website, susanlager.com. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.